for a lot of people, a lot of women, this is just too common. But this has to do with power politics and sexual harassment and incidents of harassment. Or as the integrity commissioner in the city of Ottawa, the capital city, said, incomprehensible incidents of harassment. That's right. Today, after 1 year of investigating a longtime Ottawa city councillor named Rick Shirelli, who had allegations by multiple women of inappropriate sexually charged behavior in the work, the integrity commissioner says that I conclude that Shirelli's conduct is a shocking and astounding failure to treat the complainants with the respect they were due and required of him by the code of conduct. So they want him to be severely restricted in engaging in municipal government and have his pay suspended till November of next year. Is he fired? No. Now, the reason I want to do this nationally is because this happens to women everywhere, especially in politics, especially to young women. And I want to bring on one of the complainants who has now identified herself. I also want to give a shout out to Joanne Chianello at CBC, who was breaking this story for years. And she did extraordinary work bringing this to light. So Joanne is a phenomenal journalist. Well done. But I want to bring on the complainant number one, Stephanie Dobbs, who used to work for the city councilor, Rick Shirelli. Stephanie Dobbs has now identified herself, and she joins us on the program. Stephanie, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm better than I was a year ago. Also, I just want to clarify, I'm actually complainant number two in the report.
You're complainant number two, that's right.
Yeah.
There's a multiple complainants. Stephanie, you are now in the city of Ottawa. This was a big story, and people followed it. But nationally, for people across the country who are listening, they don't know this story. And these allegations. I want you to tell your story, if you could, to people, because I think it's emblematic of, in the shadows of power, what happens to so many people.
Yes, well, basically, Councillor Shirelli is he's a city councillor, and I went to start working for him, and myself, I as well had, I didn't know who he was. I knew nothing of politics. I had no background in politics, and I think he did that on purpose. He seems to hire a lot of people that don't have a background in politics, probably because then a lot of the time we don't know any better.
How did he hire you?
Well, I actually used to be part of a charity group that we would dress up as superheroes and other characters to raise funds for CHEO, other charities. And
like the Children's Hospital of Ottawa. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's a great
thing. I went to his alcohol-free New Year's event, and I was dressed up there. And right after, he added me on Facebook. And then later, when I was looking for employment, I reached out to him to ask him if he knew anybody within the city that was hiring. And I ended up unknowingly interviewing for a job in his office.
Unknowingly?
Yeah, he met with me for coffee at Starbucks, and I was just, he said we could talk about the options and everything. What I didn't realize was that he was sort of screening me, because it's kind of clear to me now that he looks for a certain type of person to work for him, somebody who probably has no background, might not have a lot of experience in certain areas, so they might be having a hard time getting a good paying job. And a lot of the time it's people who have experienced some difficulties in their life, whether it's trauma, home issues, basically people who are vulnerable and might be open to manipulation.
I should say, and I know you know this and I want our listeners to know, Councillor Shirelli denies all these allegations. He does not believe the integrity commissioner's report is accurate. And he has from the beginning vehemently denied anything inappropriate in all this. And so I'm obliged to say that as you tell the story. And just continue, Stephanie Dobbs. So then what happened? So you have this inadvertent interview. When did you think, you know what, this is, or I mean, maybe in retrospect, when now do you see things were going bad?
There's a few things that should have tipped me off, but again, I was pretty desperate. I had a mortgage that I needed to pay, and I really thought this could be a great opportunity, because when he started, after our first interview, he asked to meet me again, and it was at a bar, and at like 9 o'clock at night. And we chatted for a while, and he told me that he was actually considering me for his office because he might have an opening. And there are some things that should have been red flags, but again, I really needed the job. But I also didn't know anything about politics, and he framed this as if this is the political dark side of politics. And if you work in his office, it's a great way to get your foot in the door at City Hall, and then you can easily move around to bigger and greater things. And he would consistently use examples of previous staff members and say that he had got them these great opportunities, which many of them were either not true or he had nothing to do with them getting those opportunities in the future. But during our interview, he, since he knew me from doing costumes and things like that, he had mentioned about a costume that I had previously done, which was a character from a video game called Final Fantasy, and it's a character named Yuna, and she has a plunging kind of open neckline area. And he brought up the photo to me, had it on his phone, and it was a photo that I didn't have. I think it might have, he must have gotten it from my friend's Facebook, because I don't, that wasn't one that I had. And he said, he asked me if I knew what could attract a man from across the room. And I, at the time, I think I said eyes, because that character has two different eye colors. And he said, no, it's going braless, which I found very bizarre, but as a coping mechanism, just kind of laughed it off and corrected him, saying, no, oh no, I have a, like, I'm wearing a bra. That's a special bra that I'm wearing there, and just kind of dismissed it.
Right. So he's talking about, he's doing a job interview. He barely knows you, and he's talking about you wearing bras.
Yep.
According to your, alleged. Yeah. I say allegedly because he denies it. Okay. Yeah.
So then he went and starts to talk about, oh, the dark side of politics, and how describes the job as kind of, you do your daily office work, but then you go out at night for kind of espionage type work. And he asks me what I would and wouldn't be comfortable with wearing, like, and I had said that I would not go braless.
Sorry, but espionage work for city councilor? What kind of espionage work?
The kind of espionage work that come to him in his conspiracy theories. I've told this story. He was convinced someone was breaking into our ward office because the toilet seat was up, and we're an all-female staff at most times. And I suggested to him that was probably because of the cleaners. And I could see this thought, this obvious answer had never occurred to him. And that is a very simple example of the extent of his paranoia.
And so he's telling you, you might have to go out at night with no bra. I got to take a break here. I want you to stay with me. But he's literally telling a new employee, there's part of your job might require you not wearing a bra, going out to do espionage work.
And flirting. So, yeah.
All right. Like, this is unbelievable, right? And what's amazing is some people say, well, why would you stay? This is the interesting thing about power when people are looking for work. And we're getting texts at 7:10:10 from women saying, oh my God, this is happening to this person. It happened to me. It happened in this doctor's office, his lawyer's, like, it happens. This is what is going on. Again, we're talking about COVID all the time. We're forgetting what people are going on doing because they're desperate for work. And today, the Integrity Commissioner in Ottawa released a report saying these are incomprehensible incidents of harassment, shocking and astounding failure to treat the complainants with the respect they were due. Complainant number two has now identified herself as Stephanie Dobbs. And she's been on the line telling her story. And Stephanie, first of all, your courage in telling this, it cannot be easy after going through all this and not only going through it, but having the guy still deny it. How bad did it get in your view when you were working for Councillor Shirelli?
Towards the end, I was not well in any respect. My physical health was failing at times. I was getting sick. I was physically ill every other day, to the point where my doctor put me on a medically restricted diet to figure out if it was something that I was eating.
You were throwing up every other day?
Yeah. We weren't
just
sure
because of the intense anxiety at going to work?
Yeah, and the long hours of everything, the paranoia, the when people talk about why didn't you leave, a lot of the time it's also the sunken time fallacy. Like, I put so much time in there. I wanted that reference and I wanted that experience to pay off. And not only that, but he would routinely remind us that we could be fired at any moment, and also would tell us, like, boogie stories about former staffers that left in disgrace or left in a bad situation, and that he had made sure through his connections that they got fired from jobs that they attended later, or that they got barred from being hired at places.
Now, you said tell us, and you've said earlier in our conversation it was an all-female staff. So is this, so you weren't the only one experiencing this?
No, and it wasn't always all female. There was the occasional male sprinkled in there, but majority of the time it was women, because he made it very clear that he wanted us to be finding supporters for him at all times and expanding these lists of supporters. And we were encouraged to flirt with people to try to get them to volunteer to help out, or try to get, if he was ever being attacked online, that they could be kind of assembled to defend him. And we were basically being used as weapons. And it just was very dehumanizing and demoralizing.
Did you actually do that? You know, when you were telling us earlier, he'd say, you're going to have to go out and in some kind of outfit that he had decided was, braless or whatever his notion you talk about was, and do espionage missions. Did you ever actually have to do those things?
Yeah, pretty much. I was in the habit of sending him a text with what I was wearing to be like, oh, does this work for this event? Is it good? Because he fostered this weird relationship with you where he tried to make it seem like he was in your corner and protecting you. And you also wanted to be on his good side because he normally had someone in the office that was being picked on that he blamed all of the office problems on. So for your survival, you did not want to be that person. You wanted to be on his good side, and you wanted to please him. It became a very messed up relationship where he would call you at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night and talk to you for several hours. Where I had a friend over one time, and he called me and talked to me for an hour, and half the time it's anecdotes about things I've already heard before, but it just became so normalized. And so you don't really see it until you're removed from it.
And so if you would text him what you were wearing, was he texting you back comments on your clothing?
I think a lot of the time he would try to be careful. I think more recently, I think he's been slipping up a lot more, that he's been less careful about what he's said. But he would routinely comment, though, about certain things, especially if it was my coworkers. My right. Coworker Brittany, he would comment about her outfits to me, and sometimes other staff as well, that he would sometimes be like mean, almost catty about things that he didn't like. And
of these women, by the way, I want our listeners to know, became complainants against him. When you said it got bad, you were physically sick. I've also heard that you became to the point where you really considered self-harm.
Yep. I went on leave in February of 2017, but in about October of 2016 would be when I remember very vividly that I was suicidal, because I just felt like I was only seeing the worst side of everything, and I was so paranoid. I felt like I had no self-worth beyond people trying to flirt with me and talk to me, and I was so burnt out. I didn't want to talk to people. I'd go to events and things that I loved. Like, I always loved Comic-Con. And I would go there and I would be like a zombie, which was right. Not what I was dressed as, because I just couldn't process things that were happening around me, because I was so drained from my day-to-day life of being there and just constantly having to be on to try to make sure I get supporters and make sure that I do all these things he wants me to do outside of the day-to-day budgeting, office work, all of that.
And Stephanie, yep. This is my heart's breaking hearing this. And I could tell you on our text board, 71010, lots of people relate to this, what you're unfortunately went through. When the Integrity Commissioner's report came out today and you decided to identify, like, How do you feel now that this is out there?
I'm actually starting to feel a little bit better. And I think because for so long, I didn't say anything and I wanted to protect the integrity of the investigation. So I didn't want to be commenting on it. So I've been trying to stay out of the media and hold my tongue and be very reserved about it. And it's felt very isolating and I can't really open up to people and talk about what's been going on with me. And having Victoria and Nancy, my former coworkers, come forward,
yeah.
I can't even tell you how much that has meant to me. That
I just want people to know Nancy O'Brien was witness number 5 for you in this report, and she's now identified herself in a press release as well. I just want people to know. So you've actually got supporters who are witnesses who have identified themselves.
Yeah, it's...
That's huge.
I'm starting to feel a little bit better in the way that I don't feel stuck anymore. I've felt like I've been trapped in limbo with waiting for this to happen and something to be done about it. And there is so much shame and guilt and frustration for letting myself be treated like that and trying to change the way I think about it and stop talking to myself like that.
Right.
And I'm just hoping that hearing me talk about it and open up about it and kind of confirming that it was really messed up what happened to us there, that there may be people that I worked with that haven't felt validated yet, that this might help them as well.
Well, Stephanie Dobbs, your courage and dealing with this is incredible. I know you want the counselor to resign. Again, he denies all these allegations, but I want to thank you for sharing this with us, and I want to wish you power and patience and success. Take care.